The title of my sermon this evening is, He Assumes 100% Responsibility. And I'll get into what that means a bit later on. And it'll become more and more evident as we go through. But I did a wedding yesterday, completely unsaved group of people. It was brilliant. I'm so glad Jesus saved me when he did. I was just telling some guys this morning that this one lady was so completely drunk, but not under the Spirit, under a different Spirit. And she had her short dress on, and she had her high heels on, but because she was completely out of it, it was like you were watching something from Japan, you know, like 4.5 on the Richter scale, where everything was doing this. And I had to just laugh. I was like, wow, God, you know, you saw me when I was that completely far gone, when I had a heart of stone, and you pulled me out and put me into this kingdom of light. And if it wasn't for him, I would still be there in high heels. I'm joking. But I told this couple, I said to him, I said, yes, that, you know, when I was ministering this word to them was, you know, that you're going to have a lot of well-to-meaning people kind of coming up to you saying, you know what, marriage is 50-50. It's give and take. You know, you've got to have your responsibilities and then share them out equally. And that way, you're going to make sure that this will last. And I told them, I said, you know what? I want to burst their bubble right now. And I told them the story about a couple of years ago when I was fighting with my wife. No, I wasn't fighting with my wife. I was presenting some very valid points. Creatively discussing them. In certain manners, with volume adjusted for effect, you know. And she, after a long while, was crying out, forgive him, forgive him, forgive him. And it, after a long while of saying it, it just lands up being, I'll give him, I'll give him, I'll give him. And after living like that for so many years, we just got married, it was like that for a couple of years, of going around the same mountain, going around the same mountain. Going around the same mountain. I'm thinking, every time I get on this mountain, going, haven't we just been here? You know, it's like deja vu. You know, you're like, hey, haven't I been here, just been here before? This looks like the same thing. We've just been, I can't. And I realized, I came to this epiphany, that if Michelle wasn't around, absolutely everything would be my responsibility. Everything. 100% my responsibility to bake the birthday cakes, to make supper, to wash the dishes, to do the homework, to make sure that there's undies on in the morning. If you only parents with boys will know, make sure the undies are on in the morning. You've got to make sure, you know, that they're taken to school. You've got to do the, you know, you've got to make sure you get to work. The lunches are packed. You've got to make sure the diaries are all kept. And I just realized, and I started going through this list of things. I was going, wow, all of this would be 100% my responsibility. You see, someone else just got an epiphany. Do-do-do-do. 100% my responsibility. So while I came to this epiphany, as I said, is that why should I wait for Michelle, something to happen to Michelle, where she's no longer around for me to assume that 100% responsibility? So I went up to her and I said, babes, absolutely everything here is 100% my responsibility. I'm taking that responsibility. And I told her, I shared this with her. And she said, and she responded to me, and she said, you know what? I also want to take 100% responsibility for absolutely everything here. And you know what happened? Is that we started to, if for example, dishes was, you know, like you split everything 50-50, you know, you'd cook and then I'll clean. And that's the way people kind of do it, you know, work. But if dishes was my responsibility, and Michelle was doing the dishes, I would be absolutely amazed that she would be doing the dishes and cooking. And I would start to cherish the things that she did rather than criticize the things that she didn't do. Can you see the difference? And I realized very quickly that it wasn't about 50-50, you know, this is my side of the bed and it's your side. I kid you not. We, you know, first couple of months of us getting married, I wake up and I'm like, you are on my side of the bed. This is how bad it was. Let's turn the lights on and we'll get the ruler out and we'll start to measure. Okay, you've got 75. I've got... No, you moved. And then I'd know we have to start again. You know, later on, a month or two later, you're like, okay, don't move. I'm going to turn the lights on. We've got the ruler here. Okay, where do we... That's how bad it was. It was really, this is mine, that's yours, and we're going to keep it together. Now all of a sudden we're saying, everything is my responsibility. Everything. So I start to go up and she does lunch in the morning for the kids. And I'm going, oh, babes, you're so good to me. You know, she was doing that already. But now I'm saying, I'm appreciating what she's done rather than criticizing. No, it's peanut butter and jam again, eh? Can't believe it. Can't believe you're giving us peanut butter and jam for 4 months running. There's only... She's not here to defend herself, so I'm not gonna take in too much. But I started to realize that in order for there to be 100% peace in a relationship, someone needs to assume 100% responsibility in that relationship. And the problem is, who can? Who can assume 100% responsibility in a relationship? And I took this and I paralleled it with the love of God. See, the Bible says that God is love. He doesn't just have love. He doesn't kind of say, okay, well, on my CV of credentials, I have peace, tick. I have patience, tick. I have some love for you, tick. You know, it's like the paper that it was written on was solid love. You know, that's the essence of who God is. That's the very substance of who He is. And so He says, on the background of this substance, I am patient, I'm kind, I'm all of these things. Right. But in this relationship that we have with Him, He knew that if He trusted us just a little bit to keep this relationship right, just a little bit, okay, if you just do this little thing, if He knew He trusted us with that one little piece, but inevitably somewhere, somehow, sometime, we would mess it up. And so He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a covenant with myself. And so He said to His son, He said, you go down, you die on the cross for the forgiveness of everyone's sins. I'll make a covenant with you. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are found in Christ, the Bible says, unable to break this covenant. So God says that I'm going to assume 100% of this responsibility of this relationship. And we have these benefits that come out of it. I'm going to just ask if the scriptures can come up. Hebrews 8:7-13. Point number one is, we'd never be able to break covenant in this relationship. He sent His Son and made a covenant with Him rather than us. Hebrews 8:7-13 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. But because finding fault with them, notice it was because the relationship didn't have 100% responsibility on God. It was dependent on us as well as God to ensure that this covenant would work. It says, because finding fault with them, He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I'll remember no more. He says, when you're in Christ, all those benefits, where God says, I'm going to assume 100% responsibility for this relationship, it's impossible for you to break covenant with Him. And you're going to find some guys, they're going to say, yeah, but what about these scriptures that speak about backsliders and speak about this? I've got one, just one thing. If they can show me this one thing, then I'll say, okay, I might entertain thinking about, you know, that we have an ability to break relationship with God. The Bible says that our heart of stone was taken out and we were given a heart of flesh. We were made a new creation. The word new is completely new. I'll come to scriptures if I have time a bit later on to show you that we are completely, altogether brand new. Not gone from PS2 to PS3. You know, I'm talking about a whole new thing altogether. If we were able to break relationship with God, break fellowship with Him, how can we stop being a new creation? If we are a new creation now, we're a brand new creation, responding to His love. How can we stop being a new creation again? So when I asked the guys, there's people that I don't know, I said, well then, I don't want to entertain this discussion anymore, because for me, we are unable to break this relationship with our Father, because when we see how much He loves us, we cannot help but be moved. He gives us faith. He gives us everything we need to believe. The second thing is that we'd be found in Christ and be made into a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, tell me, what's the next word? The new has come. Now that is NIV. New King James says this, all things have become new. Hey, your nature, your spirit, the new creation that's within you, all things. That's where some of the translations lose some of the impact, because you realize, hang on a sec, all things. That means that there's this lady that I was marrying yesterday. She has Crohn's disease. And I was ministering this to them beforehand. And I said to her, I said, when you're in Christ Jesus, there is no legitimate reason for you to remain with any disease or sickness or disability. There's no generational curse. There's no nothing that can have any kind of hook on you to make you continue in the way that you've been living up until now. There is a freedom and a wholeness and are all things made new. That's the promise for you today. You don't have to live with this thing. I wish you could see a face that has been burdened with suffering come alive in hope. It's the most beautiful thing. When what does God? And you see faith jump up. The third thing is that we would be given God's righteousness. You're going to hear this over and over and over. Every opportunity I get, this scripture floors me. To think that we would be given the righteousness of God. Not a measure of righteousness. Now we've been given an upgraded version of our old self. Now we've been given the righteousness of God. This is the very essence of what I see this new covenant gospel message has in store for all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. If we just get to terms with that, that would absolutely floor us. Number four, we would have all the benefits that Jesus should have, because He got all the penalties that we should have had. Romans 8:31 to 32 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him, Him speaking about Jesus, also freely give us all things? All things made new. Give us freely all things. Can you see that the word sozo isn't just a Greek word for salvation? Sozo is a word that describes all things made new. Your health, your mind, your spirit, all things that make up you have been made new. Number five, He has given us a journey of exploring the deepest of secrets. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. Every time I come across an anomaly, things like, why isn't it that every time we lay on hands on the sick that they're always completely whole, made whole? As soon as I find a little bit of an anomaly, I know, it's like I've got a treasure detector that just starts going, boop, beep, 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 beep. There's something here that's a secret that God has set aside for us to journey with Him together to find out why, what, when, how. I believe there's a day coming when absolutely every secret would be unveiled. But this is part of the journey that we're on. We are on the front foot of a journey of discovery, because it's like God has gone through time and said, here's a little treasure, and there's a treasure, and there's a treasure. And it's like now we've just been awakened to this whole new beautiful journey. And God's saying to us, we've got a treasure, you know, like a little treasure quest coming up. You can put on your Indiana Jones hat and your bullwhip, and we're going to go treasure hunting. Treasure hunting in the sense of there's so much more truth to what we're seeing in Scripture than what's really happening around there. I believe there's going to come a time where people are going to be translocated by world. No more a thing of, I need to wait for funds for an air ticket somewhere or visas to be approved. You know? Formalities like that. We're just, boom, you're ministering in the Netherlands. Boom, you're ministering in China. Boom, you're ministering all over the world. Can I say this? Not haphazardly. I'm not wearing appropriate stuff. I'm talking about where you get dressed up in your best Chinese outfit, your best slippers, stokies, because you know you're going. I'm talking about voluntarily where you know the Holy Spirit spoke and He says, get ready to go. Not get ready to go, pack your bags and trust God for the finances. Get your clothes on, because right now there's a group of people waiting to hear the gospel over there. Boom. It sounds so way out. It sounds so far-fetched. But these are the treasures that I believe that God has set in advance for us to go on a journey to say, there must be so much more to life than just existing. You know, there's so many Christians that just exist and they don't live. They literally kind of go through the motions, and there's not the little whiff of what if God? What if this happened? I said to Jamie the other day, I said, what if we could translocate underwater? Would we still breathe? Could we translocate to all the sunken treasures where all the wealth of the unrighteous? I've got it, Lord. We can go back now. Stored up for us to use. God has hidden certain things just for you and I to seek out. Just for you and I to seek out. Number 6. He has given us the power to change things on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to jump a whole lot of points here, and I want to get to this conclusion story. Because I got this, as I was just meditating on this evening, God showed me this picture of a royal couple. Royalty, absolute royalty. They have this son, and some tragedy befalls them where they lose their life. But at the point of them losing their life, their kid gets kidnapped. It's held for ransom in India. They're in the deepest, darkest slums of India. And this group of people trying to hold the nation where these parents were royalty ransom. And this goes on for years and years and years, till eventually this kid escapes. But still living in the slums, still living with just... Have you ever been to India? There's some, most kids that actually don't have clothes. Not even the slightest bit of material to cover themselves. So they walk around absolutely naked. Dirty, picking up scraps that animals leave behind to actually eat. And so if you can imagine that as a scenario, that if he were to be found, this prince, he would be obviously brought back to his place where he originated as. But he would battle to believe that he was royalty. And he is royalty. He's royalty because of who he is, because of his DNA, because of his blood, because of the very person of who he is. He is royalty. The reason why he doesn't act like he is now in this beautiful, fancy castle and servants and military at his beck and aid, he would battle to command things. He would sit, please, could someone get me... can I have a burger? A burger? Is that all you want? Wouldn't you want to have a feast? Wouldn't you want to bring your friends along? Wouldn't you want to bring people that you knew back then? We'll, you know, I just, some people, they're kind of like, you get to a table. My wife's like it. She's so used to cleaning up that even at a restaurant, she's got the cloth and she's just making, you know, you've lived in that environment for so long. You get to a restaurant where people look after you. You know, that's their job, and you still can't help it, you know, that this pauper, this little kid would still be cleaning up and catching all the crumbs and maybe keeping them for a little bit later on, you know? Not recognizing, not knowing that he is royalty. Not knowing that he has AIDS with AIDS. I'm talking about HIV. I'm talking about guys that have at his beck and call. And even their servants have servants, you know? That he could then say, instead of asking, please could I have, he would say, I want, I decree, this is how it's going to happen. And it would take so long for that whole history of who he thought he was to be taken out of him to where he gets to the place where he knows with full confidence how to rule and reign in his kingdom. And in essence, this is where I feel some of us are at. For so long, we've been conditioned in the streets of India, waiting for scraps to fall off our master's table, hoping that somewhere, somehow along the line, we might hit a luck with a lottery ticket, and then all would be made right. When in actual fact, you were royalty from before the dawn of time. Before creation, the Bible says that he had set us in Christ Jesus. So before you were even on the streets, before you were even acting like this, asking people for a little handout, God had already set you in Christ Jesus with servants upon servants, with the best of resources available. But it's taking us so long to get out of that place, out of our mind, sweeping up the little pieces of leftovers on the table, that we don't actually believe that which He has given us. See, what you do doesn't change who you are. But when you come to revelation of who you are, it'll change what you do. He just had to receive what his parents had paid for him. Jesus said, if you... Getting very quickly back to my last point there. If you forgive someone their sins, they will be forgiven. If you declare someone to be made whole, they will be made whole. But we still use the terms, come forward, we're going to pray for the sick. We're not going to ask God to heal you. That's like asking for the scraps off the table. All the authority, the Bible says, all the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Where are you now? You are found in Him. So you have that same authority to make bold claims, bold statements against diseases, to drive them out, to make people whole, to ask, not to ask legs, but to tell them to grow, to give eyesight to those that are blind, to set the captives free. My prayer for us tonight is this relationship with our Father has so many benefits. That is what He has planned for us. But when we reflect on these things and we recognize that He assumes 100% of responsibility for this relationship, so we can never stop being kings and queens. We can never stop having this authority. You know, we see things in Scripture where the Son was commanded to stop. What kind of authority is that? Where storms were commanded to be made still. Where great vast oceans were split. We have this kingdom being given to us. My cry is that we learn to live in this place. He has assumed 100% responsibility that we can never come out of this place. That we would stop sweeping up leftovers off the table. Hoping possibly that we might catch a glimpse of some kind of miracle, but that we believe that He is this loving, that He is this good, and He is this powerful. I'm summarizing my points very quickly. When it says, speaks about the power of God, speaks about the power of God, more about the power of righteousness, more about the power of the Holy Spirit. And it links them up all together, the power of Christ, all linking all those things up together. So when we say the power of God is here, what we're actually saying is the person of the Holy Spirit, the ability to make things righteous is here. So when he says, if you declare something as clean, it is clean. If you declare something as whole, it is whole. When you make these bold claims as kings and queens, princes and princesses, the power of God is about righteousness. It's about the gospel of righteousness. That you don't have to worry about that anymore, whether you're righteous or unrighteous. Why? Because as I said earlier, he assumes 100% responsibility for this relationship. He has made you 100% righteous all the time. Receive it. Princes, princesses, the stand. Thank you, Lord, that because of your great love, your word says, for you so loved us. Your love drives you, Lord, into this relationship where you assume 100% responsibility for this relationship to work. All we can do is respond and say, thank you that you have made us co-heirs. Thank you that you have made us royalty. Thank you, Lord, that before time had even begun, the first second to move over, the first second of the first moment that you created time, we were going to be found in Christ Jesus. That you had predetermined us to be found in you. That you had predetermined us to be kings and queens. That you had predetermined for us to go on this beautiful journey with beautiful benefits and given us all this authority. Holy Spirit, for right now, for this week, for this very moment, show us where we are still looking to pull the scraps off the table, where we're still begging and asking and pleading, and we're not declaring, boldly making statements of faith, because you have given us all this authority. What a travesty it would be if we get to heaven and you show us what we could have done. Look at what you could have done. You could have held the sun back. You could have moved oceans. You could have thrown yourself across the world in the blink of an eye. You could have had wealth pouring in. You no longer hold one thing against us, Lord. The beauty of this relationship is that you assume 100% responsibility. But give us the eyes to see where we are not receiving it. And help us, Holy Spirit, with our weaknesses. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go change the world.
Amen. Just before Jimmy, you guys go, I want to hijack this meeting quickly. Jimmy is off to the UK tomorrow with his whole family, and he's just translocating there, eh? Come on. No, he's actually going to fly to the UK, and we'll probably
my kids there. I'm just going
to
translate.
He's probably going to translocate to America while he's there, or he's preaching next week here. But we just want to pray for him and just declare over him God's favor. So we just pray right now, Father, for Jimmy, Michelle, Braden, and Kale. And Lord, we declare over them your favor. Lord, I pray for supernatural surprises, Lord. At the airports, in the airport lounges, in the planes, they'll get supernatural favor, Lord, with the people behind the counters. When they say, what are the chances of getting an upgrade? I say, no, we don't do upgrades. Not for Jimmy, Lord. Because your favor is over them, God. You will give them that kind of favor, Jesus. We declare it over them, Lord. God, that the whole trip in the UK would just be would just be sprayed with your favor like that, Jesus. We declare it over them. And Lord, we pray, Father, for the most incredible opportunities to minister your love, Lord, with the most incredible people, Lord, family and friends and strangers alike, Lord. Just, Lord, I see people weeping at the message of the love of God. And we just thank you for these people to come into the most intimate, real relationship with you, Jesus, their Savior, through Jimmy and Michelle, God. We pray for such awesome times of family fun. Lord, refreshing. We declare over them the rivers of refreshing as they go, Lord. Thank you for your protection in everything they do, every trip they take, every walk they walk, everywhere they drive. Lord, you are with them. We thank you, Lord. We can't wait to have them back with all the stories and all the fun, Lord. We just declare your favor over them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys, man. All right, now you can go change the world.